you do it yet.
I'm gonna call the meeting order.
Jay. McGuire. Michaels.
Here.
Mitchell.
Here.
Summers.
Here.
Weibel.
Here.
Coart.
Present.
Alex.
Here.
They need approval of the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
I need approval of minutes from January 13th, 2017.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved in second. Any discussion or corrections? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? No public participation. Any communication to the committee?
I was talking to Chris Dennis earlier in the week, and he said he's been and seen John Jay a few times, and didn't seem like he was getting around too good. So he was skeptical as to his ability to come back. But John keeps saying he's going to come back, because that's John.
Mm-hmm.
But Chris was...
He's
still at Clark Lindsay. Yeah.
It's actually in Meadowbrook, though.
Huh?
It's actually in the Meadowbrook.
In the Meadowbrook part?
Try to go look at it. See.
Okay.
Is there a different entrance for that, or?
Yeah, in the back.
I thought he was in the front, because Chris told me to go in the front underneath the canopy to see him. Have you been out there?
I've been out there.
He's in the back?
Yeah.
You get to it off a race.
Oh, really?
Coming off a race, what, by the garages?
Yeah. Yeah. There's a door back there.
I may too.
Okay. Go past the garages?
The garages are on your right, park in there, and then there's a little walk.
Okay.
And they have to buzz you in.
Does it say Meadowbrook?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Good. Okay. I'm glad you told me, because I was going to go see him. I would have been in a totally wrong spot.
He walked through the building. It's not a big deal.
Just... Oh, you can? It's all connected.
It's a bit of a maze, though.
Yeah.
Okay, next is a town and township motor fuel tax claim for January 2017.
Move approval as presented.
Second.
Moved and second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Okay, now we're going to the county engineer's report.
All righty. Okay, now last time we went through this pretty fast, and I want to see if you can keep up.
I got to get my money's worth, man. It shouldn't take too long. The fewer questions, the better off we'll be. So.
Hey. I'm back, boys.
All right, so I wanted to go through our work plan. This isn't our five-year, because we generally schedule about 2 years as far as actual projects and trying to get the plans accomplished and get the money situated to do projects. So I just kind of wanted to go through it with you. I passed out a bigger spreadsheet today. The 8.5 by 11 was a little hard to read. And then along with the spreadsheet are the different maps that are in your packet as well, that show the location of each of the projects as we go through them. They should be in order based on the spreadsheet, so you can kind of see where these projects are located. So starting in 2017, County 9 Road Bridge Replacement, which is up just west of County Road 32 on County Road 9. We've already bid the project. It's a totally locally funded project, so it's county bridge funds only. Bid came in at about $615,000. Start Construction got that project, and they will be starting construction in early April. And that project is a full bridge replacement with a steel beams and concrete deck. So it'll take a better part of the summer to complete that project.
And that'll be closed off?
It'll be closed, the whole road, yes. So there'll be we won't mark a detour, but most people that live up that way kind of know their way around anyway. So they'll be using township roads and what have you to get around the bridge during its closure. County Road 20, which is up there on Hensley Road, right by the new Rush Equipment building up there. So it's right before you get to Market Street on Hensley Road. That bridge deck was showing some pretty serious wear and tear from its age. We had been waiting and waiting and waiting because it's got these, what the state would refer to as unique guardrails along the side of the bridge, or bridge rails made out of concrete, and they thought there was some historical significance to those. And it took us about 9 months to come to the conclusion that, yeah, they're a little unique, but historical significance is not anything that's going to stop the project, because there's a multitude of other bridges around the state that have similar bridge rails on them. So we just got clearance to bid that job this week from the state. So we have a bid letting set for March 2nd. And then I already have a resolution from you guys, because I thought that project was going to go last fall, to award that contract as long as it's within 10% of the engineer's estimate. So as long as that is the case, I'll go ahead and award it, and hopefully we can get a contractor out there maybe in April as well to get that project started. That shouldn't take nearly as long as the County Road 9 project, simply because we're ripping off the old deck and replacing the deck, putting on new guardrail, and we'll have to do some miscellaneous pavement work because they'll tear that up when they're doing the bridge project. But that one should be more of a couple months in and out and done and open. But that's the bridge that we had to post last year.
Yep.
So we're trying to get rid of that posting. That's one of only two bridges on the system that's posted right now. The next couple of bridges are bridges that the Monticello Road Bridge over the Kaskaskia River is a rather large bridge.
Excuse me, here it's called Kaskaskia Ditch.
Okay. When you get a little farther south, maybe it turns into a river. I'm not really sure. But it's the water that comes out of the plant just to the north of there. So you probably don't want to swim in it. But there was some quote-unquote extra money that the state had that they needed to spend, or it was going to go to Chicago. So we jumped on that extra money back in the fall to the tune of about $1 million total cost on the project, $800,000 federal share on that project to do it, because that was going to be a significant project for us to take on our own, obviously, to fund that locally. Over the last couple of years, the bridge deck, which is precast, pre-stressed, it's got the stressed strands in it, they tend to deteriorate with salt on the bridges, and once they get to a point where they're starting to rust, they just tend to really quickly accelerate through that rusting, and actually it may have to be posted before we get out there. I hope we can get it bid quick enough to where we don't have to post it, because that's a major thoroughfare. Mm-hmm. But the state did come and inspect it last week, because once a bridge reaches, we have criteria 1 through 10 on our bridge inspections for all the different elements. Once the bridge reaches a 4 on any element, they come and inspect it to make sure that we know what we're talking about, more or less. And they did come and inspect it. They agreed with our rating of the bridge, but once it gets to that point, they actually take everything into account and they go back and run it through a program that they have to see if it needs to be load posted. Likely that it will need to be load posted, but I might be able to keep them off long enough until we can get the contract bid on this.
How often will they come back and recheck it then?
They'll usually put it on like a 6 month cycle.
Okay.
If it's really bad, like the one down on the Posodum Road, which is due for replacement next year, we're on a 3 month cycle on that one.
All right.
because that's already posted. So we have to go out and do a, what they refer to an arm's length inspection, which means we got to be able to touch all the elements on the bridge that are in poor condition, which can be difficult, especially on larger bridges. And then we have to document if anything else, we take pictures and we make drawings to show what's deteriorated over the last 3 or 6 months, depending on the span between the different inspections. So, so that one's in that state. I'm pushing as hard as I can to get it on the federal letting, on the April letting, because this has to be on the state letting. We do not bid this. It's one of those projects where they do all the paying and then they bill us for reimbursement and we do the engineering work on it. Hopeful that we can get everything approved and ready to roll so they can bid it in April, which means usually takes a month and a half to get a contract after a letting like that, so we can get out there in June, likely, get it started. And then that's going to take a while to build that bridge. If we don't get it on the April letting and it slips to the June letting, which is the next state letting, we probably wouldn't have enough time to get it built during the summertime. And obviously we don't want to keep that road closed, because it will have to be closed over the wintertime. So we're pushing as hard as we can to have it on the April letting. You'll see in the addendum, that's why there's an addendum, to have give Pius the authority to sign a joint agreement with the state once that agreement is approved by the state and sent to us.
Jeff, what's involved in that, in the closure there? Is there a detour posted, or are there no roads in the area suitable for a detour, right?
There are no county roads in the area. If there was a detour, it would be awfully long.
Either. So you basically, I assume they post that on the interstate then as closed?
We'll post it as soon as you're coming up, like if you're coming up the ramp, mm-hmm. we'll have it as closed. Most people going on the interstate are going into Champaign when they come off the ramp. They're not going towards Monticello, but there's a lot of people that come from the west trying to get to the interstate. So we'll post it all the way back in Monticello.
In Monticello.
That the road is closed. Monticello had their end closed last year for
right,
a period
yeah,
of time because they were redoing the road. Obviously, we redid the road like 6 years ago and had it closed at different times.
So for trucks that come off the interstate, they'll see the sign. The sign will be on the ramp, so they have a chance to get back on the interstate without having to.
Yeah, and we'll put it on the state system when they do their mm-hmm. permits,
okay.
so that they know they shouldn't be permitting. And if we have a permitted load, obviously, we're going to let them know that that road is closed. So we'll have to do more than we typically do, but I don't want to post a true detour, because if we post a true detour, it's going to be so long, nobody's really going to use it anyway.
Yeah.
So 900 North, which is the road just immediately south of Monticello Road, is a decent township road. I've already talked to both the township highway commissioners that'll be affected. They know that the traffic's going to end up on there. We've got this sign replacement program that we're doing with stop signs, and it's likely that we're not going to get that in place until after the bridge, so we're going to get the stop signs on those roads put in appropriately, because there are some.
Yeah, good.
Actually, 900 North is the two places where we had fatalities.
Yeah.
Recently, people blowing through unmarked intersections. So we'll make sure those intersections are marked before we close the roadway, because the next bridge, which is the East Lake Fork Bridge, which is just a couple of miles down the road, is also on Monticello Road. So it's not in as bad a condition as the Kaskaskia Bridge, but while we got Monticello Road closed, we might as well fix them both, is, you know, kind of the thought process there. It could probably go another 5 years, but I don't want to have to come back in 5 years and close the road again. It's just it's a triple box culvert, which is what it'll end up being when we're done. So it's all poured in place. It's got a lot of bridge rail along it that were replaced when we redid Monticello Road.
Those will be bid as separate jobs?
They have to be, because one of them is federal and one of them is local. But my thought process is try to bid them in a very similar time frame, hopefully get the same contractor on both of them, so that I can put one engineer out there to run in between them and follow a contractor. If we have two contractors, it'll be a little bit more difficult to chase them around. And because when you do traffic control and so forth.
I'm also thinking, the contractors have to have access to the site with heavy equipment, which is going to be hard if it's closed from both ends, right?
So right. Yeah, I mean, you can go, they can go around the township road because they're not so close that there's not another intersecting township road in between them.
They're about 2 miles apart here, it looks like.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah, so the people that will really be affected is if there's any homes in between those two areas, they're not going to have, they're going to have to use the township roads to get in and out of their, residence. And obviously, the emergency people would be notified. We always go through MedCat on that, and they'll know that they're closed.
There are no businesses in that stretch, right? Not even any research, crop research or anything like that?
There are in the north-south roads, but nothing on the east-west road.
Okay.
Nope.
And those will both be led at the same time, or attempted to be led at the same time, which is April?
Yes. Yeah. So the East Lake Fork Bridge will be let here. We'll award it as the county, and that'll be much quicker than the state one. That'll be awarded by the state. Because that, like I said, that usually takes a month and a half to get a contract out of the state. So it's possible that, you know, they could get going on the one that's farther to the west, waiting for the contract to come back for the Kaskaskia Bridge replacement. That would be my hope, get kind of a jump start on the first one, and then move on down to the east to the second one. Those are our major bridge projects there, those four for this year, but they, you know, it's a pretty good total there of over a couple million dollars on bridges. And then we've got a couple of township bridges, Compromise Township Bridge replacement, which is just west of Penfield up there, a couple of miles. It's kind of a small project. We're actually going to put in a arch that's made out of aluminum, an aluminized arch, to replace that one, because right now it's kind of like a concrete box culvert. But it's got these rails that literally look like there's some kind of bottom of an old bed, like an antique bed. I mean, it literally looks like they just slapped the side of the bottom of an old, and they're telling me that those are historically significant.
Well, they sound more historical based on your description.
Sure they are.
Yeah. I think you should save them and put them in your office.
I'm all for cutting that one off, and you can have it if you want it. Marvin can have it, the Compromise Township, or the state can have it. I don't want it.
Where's the pickup?
But we're literally waiting for the state to tell us whether those bed rails are significant historically before we can.
What are they made out of, the concrete?
No, they're metal.
Metal.
Yeah, and they're about ready to fall. I mean, literally, you could go out there and push them off. They're in such bad shape, but they're unique. There's no other one because somebody hand built them basically and put them on.
Next time,
I got one. They're pretty. pretty.
Robbing up the let me borrow a truck. I'll drive that over to the Dirksen building and leave it there, right? You know, right on the front sidewalk there, so they can do what they want with it.
We can get you a saw to cut it too.
And then we got the.
Use mine.
We got the Mahomet Township Bridge, which is on Spring Lake Road in Mahomet Township. We have the bid set up for February the 22nd, although the project cannot begin until June 1st because that's one of only two ways to get in and out of that that subdivision, if you will, around Spring Lake. And the highway commissioner doesn't want us cutting off one of the accesses until school is basically out. So we're giving them from June 1st to August 15th to replace that deck. And there's also some metal piling underneath the bridge, like we had out here on Country Club Road in Urbana. Not nearly in that deteriorated shape, but we don't want them to get that way. So we're going to go ahead and encase those while we're there with concrete, do some riprap work, and then put a new deck on it while we're there as well. So that's a township bridge program project. So it's 80% through the state, and then township picks up 10%, and the county picks up 10% of that project.
Jeff?
Yes.
Is that on the west like southwest end of Mahomet or something here? If I'm looking at that.
Straight west off 150.
Is it north of 150?
South.
South.
It's,
there's south. That, so south 150.
It's yeah. That private lake. It's where the outflow of that private lake goes under Spring Lake Road there.
Yes.
Because we didn't we just repair a big road area in there, or was that the state that did that? Weren't they closed off for a while?
150 was closed a few years ago. They redid that box culvert.
But this is on the other side of this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's farther west than that. And then off of 150, maybe a half a mile or so to the south.
Yeah, there's that whole Spring Lake subdivision there, and it's right at the entrance to that.
Yeah. And their only other way out is a township road that kind of wraps around. There's a gravel pit back there. Mm-hmm. So they're going to have to go out to the south while the bridge is out and being replaced. But Chris didn't want the school buses to have to go that route. So we're going to put a tight time frame on it. It may make the price go up a little bit. I don't know. Contractors tend to like to do it when they want to do it, and we're going to tell them when they're going to do it. So we'll see. I think that's still a pretty good estimate at $260,000. So that's our six major bridge projects. We always have the smaller culvert projects that'll kind of trickle in throughout the year that the Township Highway Commissioners will request, but those are usually pretty simple. We supply the boxes and they hire a contractor to put them in. So moving on to our road rehabilitation project on the Dewey Elliott Road. It's been a long time coming. Mm-hmm. That road is in really bad shape for the amount of traffic that it carries. Obviously it goes from Dewey up to the Ford County line, and there's pretty major grain distribution places both in Dewey and Elliott, and they use that quite extensively to get back and forth. And it's a big cutoff road for whatever reason for people coming in from the north.
We use it to go to Gibson. It's a shorter way than going all the way into Fisher.
Yeah. So pretty high traffic. If you've ever driven that road, there's 2 1-mile sections where the ditches dump into pretty major ditches that cross the roadway, where there's literally a shoulder about that wide, and then it goes into about a 1.5 to 1, and the ditches are 8 foot deep. So in those 2 mile areas, or those mile areas, two of those, we're buying right away, pushing the ditches out, rebuilding the shoulders, and making it a safer roadway to drive in those areas. So the contractor will be required to do all the dirt work first in those sections. They're going to have to bring in borrowed dirt, which means they're going to have to find a place to get dirt from, either dig a pond or haul it in from off-site, something like that. And then we're going to cold in place recycle the roadway like we've done on many of our roads, and then we'll put a hot mix asphalt overlay over the top. So once it's done, it should be 20-year life on that roadway, give or take a few years with good maintenance on it.
And what does it take to build up a side of a ditch, though? Basically, move the ditch over, means you've got to build that up.
Right. It just takes a lot of dirt. So we got to haul dirt in, you know.
And so there's no room for a guardrail either. I suppose the other thing you do, for a guardrail, but there's no room for it, though.
Right. And that's a maintenance nightmare for the rest of our lives. Once you put a guardrail up, it gets struck, and we got to go out and fix it, and we got to mow around it, or we got to spray around it, and we got to plow around it, and guardrails.
Got a lot of farm equipment going on.
Yeah, a lot of farm equipment.
Well, trying to get both sides.
Right.
And you know, they meet somebody, they try to get over, and the guardrail's an obstruction for them. So there's a lot of reasons. There's a lot of good reasons to have guardrail, but I would much rather spend the money to build the shoulders and push the ditches out than put up.
How far will you move the ditch out?
We're going to end up with a 6 foot shoulder, and the ditches, so we go from about a 2 foot shoulder to a 6 foot shoulder, so that takes 4 feet.
So you've got 10 feet out there.
And then, you know, the slopes are like this, we're going to make them like this, so that's going to push it out farther. So we're buying about 10 foot of right of way in those areas on both sides of the roadway.
Go on the other side, dig from the other side of the ditch?
Can, but there's not enough dirt because we got this slope and we got to go to this slope, so we got to fill in that triangle.
So you'll do some of that, but you still need more.
Right. Yeah. Still got to haul in some dirt to do the project. So that will, I mean, hopeful that we can get the right-of-way negotiated. We just started this week negotiating right-of-way. There's only 8 tracks, unlike Dewey Fisher Road, which had 100. Now, that one took a long time to negotiate. We're hopeful we can get these 8 tracks purchased by April, get it bid. June, July, August is a good time to do dirt.
Yeah.
You know, and then they can come in and do the cold in place recycling, do the asphalt overlay. And I think we got like an October 15th completion date on the project. We don't want that cold in place recycling to go too late into the summer, because it's got to have time to cure out, and you got to have the heat to get that water out of that cold in place recycling before we can overlay it. But so that's probably from June all the way till October. The road will only be closed when we're paving, because we pave full width so that we don't have that joint in the center. But they'll do everything else under traffic. So
the you're filling in these ditches. Is there time involved there as far as letting fill settle or compact or something? Or because you're not actually building road on it.
Right.
Is that not an issue?
No, they should be able to get it compacted as they build it.
Okay.
So
do you need a permit to move that?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Well, EPA. I mean, if we touch anything, we got to get EPA and Corps of Engineers. And
something
all that
done
stuff.
Before.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Taking all the fun out of winter driving, Jeff. That's one of the most exciting roads in the county to drive in the winter.
Yeah. Also, it's good for checking out your steering and suspension, too.
Well, the curve will still be there, so you can see how fast you can take the double curve. But we're going to pave the bottom side of the shoulder so you can take it faster and cut the curve out of your driving.
Well, and actually pavement on the top side, too.
In case you start sliding.
Yeah, we banked a little more than
that. Like the, make it like the Speedway over in Indianapolis, huh? See how fast we can get them going. And then, so we got TARP money for that project, which is money to rebuild roadways to truck standards on that Dewey Fisher Road. So we got $540,000 from the state. You basically get $90,000 a mile to do that, and that's a 6-mile project, so that's where the $540,000 comes from to do that project. And then back in June of 2016, we applied for a highway safety improvement project to upgrade some of our guardrails around the county.
Sorry, Jeff, can I go back real quick?
Yes, sir.
Dewey Fisher. I see that ends at Dewey.
Yeah.
What about that stretch between Dewey and 136?
The only reason that map shows that is because we're going all the way to 136.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But from the railroad tracks down to 136 was already a TARP project at one point in the past, so we can't get TARP money for that.
Oh, got it. Okay.
So that's what that map
is. It's part
of
the project,
but it is part of the project.
TARP money. Okay.
But we're not getting the.
Because that's not in great shape either.
It's probably worse because it gets the most truck traffic coming in there.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the co-op is redoing the rail crossing, because they actually own that rail.
Yeah.
They're the only ones that use it. So they're redoing the rail crossing this summer. So they'll go about 30 feet each side of the rail with new asphalt, and then we'll just match in to what they did when we get there.
So their intent is to keep using that rail line.
Oh, yeah. If you've been up there,
they've
got expanding.
The indexing system. And
is that Premier?
Yeah.
The, like a cable that pulls the cars along when they load them.
Oh, okay.
Like moves them back and forth.
So their entire operation is going to move south towards 136. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to put in new scales. They're putting in new grain bins. So they're expanding their actual storage there.
Cool.
So they totally intend on being there for the long haul for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then the township's going to do some work on the road that goes to the current scales while we're there as well, and kind of match into ours and hopefully be able to use our bid prices in order to do some work in Dewey to upgrade that one road that's just north of the co-op that goes to the scales.
Got
so
it.
He wants to do that while we're in there. And then the countywide guardrail replacement, like I said, in June we had a consultant go out and do a countywide guardrail assessment for us. It's something that the state's really pushing with their safety projects, is to get an assessment of all your in-place guardrails. So they went out and drove the 200 miles of the county, took pictures of all the guardrails, assessed them, gave them a ranking, told us what type of end treatments they got, whether they're state approved or whether they're like the old ones that if somebody ran into them, they wouldn't break away. So I'm going around now. We applied for $2.4 million, which I knew we wouldn't get because that's every single guardrail in the county. We got $1 million in that application.
How many feet of guardrails, or however you measure guardrails, do we have?
It's about $100 a foot to replace it.
And how many do we have?
I'd have to look. There was like 67 different locations or something like that. Most of it's along existing bridges.
Yeah. Okay.
Some of it's in good shape because we just replaced the bridge.
Like approaches to bridges.
Yeah. Some of it's long stretches, like there's one going into Gifford. That's a very long stretch. It's kind of like the Dewey Elliott Road where we got a steep slope, but they put a guardrail up many, many years ago. And it's starting to lean over because it's on a pretty steep slope and it's really low to the ground, and now they have to be higher off the ground because everybody's built their trucks up. And you know, the strike point on a vehicle now is much higher than it used to be. Yeah.
Is that why modern bridges are higher, so when you're in a car, you can't see the rivers anymore?
Yeah.
I hate it.
God damn it. Yeah, I hate the button. Across the rivers, you can't see the rivers anymore.
I know.
Yeah.
True. I don't like it.
The concrete rails come up to, you know, past your car window.
Drive and focus on the road.
Yeah. I mean, just say you're a lot safer.
Or just get a big 4x4.
It's great. It is irritating.
People are afraid of bridges, though. I mean, it's a lot less exciting, a lot less
stressful going over an interstate bridge. Jack it up to a high quickly. Yeah, sorry for the interruption.
No, that's okay. I agree, because we were out in Vegas last year, and we went to see the Hoover Dam, and when you drive across the great big new bridge, you can't see anything.
Really?
No, but they got a walkway outside of the concrete parapet.
That you have to pay to get to.
And you got to walk up these long steps. We did it because you couldn't see it going across the bridge.
Or something like that, or nicks.
Huh?
They put portals or nicks, that would be nice.
And every time you go by one, you swerve the other way.
Well, going fast enough, it'd be like a movie reel.
So anyway, we're assessing where we can best spend that $1 million. Obviously, we're going to look at bridges we're going to replace in the next 10 years. We'll skip those because we don't want to replace something now and come back in 10 years and pull it all out and redo it. So I don't think we'll have any trouble spending that $1 million. It's just a process to figure out exactly which guardrails we're going to replace. And we're hoping to bid that sometime during the summer.
Jeff, how does this work in? Because I remember looking up here and we had all of our roads rated and that type of thing. Are there any of these guardrails and bridges and stuff on any of those roads? Because I thought our roads were in pretty good shape. There were only a couple of them left that we really needed to fix.
Yeah.
And this kind of seems like maybe some of that might couple with that.
Well, like Monticello Road, when we redid all the guardrails. Dewey Fisher Road, we redid all the guardrails because those were major road improvements. Typically, when we redo a road, we just go in cold in place and overlay, so we don't really touch anything on the sides. Our surfaces are in pretty good shape.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, our rails are, but they got all these new standards of, you know, when you hit them, they're supposed to collapse and they're supposed to, you know, accordion up. And if you don't have the proper end treatment on them, then they're not really certified by these certification people that they have at the feds now. So even though they appear, you drive down the guardrail, it looks good, but the end treatment may not be the new, latest and greatest end treatment. Now, if that's the only problem we got, I'm probably not going to do those.
Right.
You know, but we do have some where they turn down. It almost becomes a ramp when you hit them. You can shoot your car up in the air. Exactly. We obviously want to get rid of those.
Oh, man. I'll say it'd be great since it'll fly.
Jeff, are there places where we can eliminate guardrails?
That's what I was going to ask.
You said these ones by Gifford, maybe.
Yeah, although it's coming off of a bridge section. It's not along a roadway where, and those bridges aren't in horrible shape as of right now. With this money, this is actually to replace guardrails, so we'd have to apply for a different application to do something like that, and then we'd have to buy right-of-way. And anytime you start buying right-of-way with federal money, it becomes...
Right. Well, I'm just thinking of, are there places where, you know, by current standards, you wouldn't need them, where they were put there just haphazardly and don't need to be there?
No.
Okay.
If anything, we probably have places we should have them, but that we don't, based on the newer standards, because they didn't used to really care as much as they do now.
When you redo bridges, are you able to reuse some, like, say, the steel rail on the guardrails, or is it...
It depends on what shape it's in.
I assume it's in good shape, has been banged up, you can reuse it, okay.
Yeah.
I see the posts are always replaced, but
Right. Because a lot of them have the 6-foot posts in them. Now they're going to 9-foot posts so that they're, when you hit them, they can hold the car or the vehicle better. So it's unlikely that we reuse very much of it.
But you look into it.
Yes. And if not, the contractor will take it and give us some salvage value for it.
So. And this is work that it'll all be done. This would all be bid out.
Yes. Yeah, it'll be furnish and install guardrails at these particular places around the county. On the county. This isn't any of the township roads. This is only county roads that we're doing that on. then we have the Lincoln Avenue realignment, which is ongoing. It's been bid. Stark is the contractor. We're out there right now removing trees along the corridor. And they're burning the trees right now, getting it ready to come in and start doing the dirt work. Weather permitting, they're hoping to start dirt work in March. You know, that project should be done and opened by this fall. And then obviously we're gonna open up the Olympian Drive roadway and bridge and connect it into the Lincoln Avenue. And we'll have that corridor up there that's totally open to traffic.
That's a perfect road. Maybe talk to Bill Gray and see if he'd like to do a musical road up that way.
I think the plans have already been bid. We don't have any music bid into it, though.
Speaking of Bill Gray as the Urbana representative here, and I apologize if this was discussed at the last meeting where I wasn't able to make it. We know Stark's had problems with Windsor Road and with 4th Street, right?
Yep.
Make me feel better that we're not going to have three...
All right,
cracking roads.
I'm going to try,
year.
But I'm not sure I'm going to accomplish it because I don't feel all that great about it either. So for me to convince you without convincing myself is going to be something that's going to be tough to do. But here it goes. So when you build a roadway like they did on Windsor Road, which is full curb and gutter with a concrete pavement, there's a lot of different dynamics to go into that because they pour the concrete curb and gutter first. They bring dowel bars out of the concrete curb and gutter and they tie it into the roadway. And then they come back after they've poured the concrete and they cut the joints every 15 feet or whatever they did. And they hand placed all the dowel baskets and they hand worked all the concrete. Hmm. This project has no curb and gutter, so you don't have that tie coming in, which kind of, in my opinion, locks that pavement in a little bit more than it should, because now it's not able to move and it's going to crack. And this one's going to be slip formed, which means they're going to bring out a big machine. They're going to pin the dowel bars on, and they're going to come across it with a machine instead of pouring it from a truck and everybody hand finishing it. So the initial ride should be better.
Right.
The concrete curb and gutter won't be there to lock in the pavement. We haven't had any problems on Olympian Drive as far as, I mean, there's a different contractor, but I just think when you get all that working against you in a city project, plus they had problems with that roadway before, so there may be something underlying underneath there that's causing an issue.
Yeah, there's ancient Indian burial ground.
There could be. There's demons or gremlins or something underneath that roadway. I'm not really sure. So we hired a very, very, very seasoned engineer between the city and the county, Mike Carnahan, who used to work for the state. He was with the state for 30 years. He's been on construction for 10 years. And then I got John Marker, who was here for 35 years, backing him up. So we have the best people we can possibly put out there to oversee the project. And we've already had that meeting with Stark about the whole concrete issue.
Okay.
They feel compelled, I believe, to try harder.
Well, they better.
They want to stay in business, yeah.
Yeah.
Who are they getting their concrete from?
Well, that's the one issue that worries us. It's a different concrete supplier. They're getting it out of Sport.
Yeah.
And they got the other stuff out of Prairie.
Oh.
I think they mostly get their cement from the same source. It's just the mixing of it and bringing it to the job. But it's kind of a totally, not totally different, but it's quite a bit different.
So you think, I mean, getting answers out of the city of Urbana on this has been impossible either, right? The last time I asked, I got a list of like, it could be,
right.
And, you know, it started with concrete and it ended with, you know, voodoo and, you know, whatever. So I think the most credible of those sounded like misplacement of the dowel bars.
I think there's some of that going on.
If you also subscribe to that theory, then that makes me feel better that this is a non-hand placed.
Right. Now, they still have to place the dowel bars by hand in the baskets in front of the machine.
Right, but the machine puts sets the depth and so forth, right?
Right.
And the engineers will be there to make sure that they're set out, right?
There's going to be no doubt that those dowel bar baskets are going to be pinned in place exactly like they're supposed to be. I've heard things that some of the dowel bar baskets were quickly set and only a couple pins put in them.
Okay.
They weren't secured like they were supposed to be. And,
right.
There's all kinds of issues. And I still think this whole concrete curb and gutter locking in is working against them. That's my personal opinion. I haven't heard anybody else say that from Urbana's side. But that's an ongoing issue, obviously. They opened up the roadway, but it's not by any means done.
Well, no offense to Urbana, but I trust your engineering judgment more than I trust theirs. So
they are using support, though?
Yeah.
Isn't Blager right there?
That's what we use a lot of Blager.
Yeah, their plant's right.
The
plant's sitting right there. So I don't know how they could match. Well,
each time they see the competition's trucks go by, maybe they'll think the next time we bid on a county job, we ought to give them a better deal.
Yeah, well, that's what they told us initially at the pre-con, is that's the concrete source they're using. So
there won't be too many sport balls in the mix. you laugh, but I've seen sport balls before.
Yep.
They're not pretty.
Yep. Sport balls.
Sport balls. That's when it comes out of the chute and there are chunks.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Which means what, it's just old concrete they threw in there?
It's just not good.
It's badly mixed.
Badly mixed.
It's just not good.
Yeah. Sometimes they don't get the drums completely cleaned out after the last pour, and those chunks kind of end up in the next mix. But
so, Steve, do you buy Jeff's?
I haven't gotten anything from the city. I'd asked questions, but I'd heard some of the same things Jeff said as far as the baskets not being secured properly. I'd heard that from some other folks.
Yeah.
I know that was it. Stark did work on. I thought it was Olympian Drive, but maybe it was not, where the city of Champaign had gone back and had to do some work, some patchwork.
They had South 4th Street on campus. They had the same problem.
That was immediate.
They got that was the U of I, and the U of I said, come out here and fix these. They cracked, and they went out there like the next week and fixed them because they didn't want to deal with any more issues with cracking pavement. So,
at some location, I think the city of Champaign had gone back and had a contractor for patching. Expansion cuts are supposed to be at the baskets, and they went in and found that the alignment was not the way it was supposed to be. And that's probably part of the reason why there was the fault, the failure.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so there's a lot of different things. I mean, you would think it's really easy, right? I mean, you go out there and pour concrete and...
No, I don't think that's easy at all.
If Elvis can do it, why couldn't anybody do it?
I've known a lot of concrete contractors. Art to that.
There is art to it. There's probably more art than science to it.
Mm-hmm. They call it engineering, right?
But the whole, from what I can tell, and this isn't anything that's secret, you know, Stark is saying, you guys were out there watching us do it. You didn't tell us to stop. You didn't tell us we were doing it wrong. We did it with your inspectors watching us. Now you're coming back and telling us we did something wrong.
Yeah,
how can you say that?
That's for the lawyers. I'm more concerned about the engineers.
That's just what I'm saying.
Point.
Is that, and I don't know how long they're going to fight that fight, but it seems like it's going to be ongoing for quite a while. But while they're fighting that fight, in the meantime, we're going to be building Lincoln
Avenue. We do a lot of work with them.
Yes, we do.
We do a lot of work with them.
But the thing is, if they're...
A long time with them.
Yes, ma'am.
Right.
If they're state certified, we don't have the authority to reject them. As long as they have their approvals from the state. If there's any state money, now on a local project... We have the right to reject any and all bids and award to other than the low bidder if we see a reason why. We have to have a good reason. State's attorney would probably have to get involved.
Yeah.
Well, but on a state project.
Like that, they're not going to perform the responsibility.
They're just trying
the
to cover their butts because it's a big dollar
amount.
We can
say that they're not the best, we don't feel like they're best bidder of the project.
For a local.
And I would say that to
project.
Them when they're bidding, because you're saying, in essence, that we're not responsible for pinning the baskets properly. We're not responsible for making sure it's good work. You have inspectors that are there. No, we have inspectors there to do their job.
Mm-hmm.
Who let the bid out?
Watching you, but
For?
For this project we're talking about.
The Windsor one?
The
City of Urbana.
And Lincoln is the state. Yes. I mean, it went through the state.
This one that's for us, the Lincoln Avenue realignment.
Yes. Now, regardless of what happens to the concrete or the roadway, it's not going to be ours when it's all said and done.
Yeah,
not that that's a good reason not to
problem,
do it right, but it won't be our problem when the project's done and said and built. The city is going to take over that roadway from the township, and it will be a City of Urbana roadway when it's all said and done. So, yeah, we're having multiple meetings about the quality of the work.
Okay, no, I'm convinced. Thank yeah. you.
They know they're being watched.
Yeah, and honestly, they have. So we did a job with Stark last year, the realignment of Cardinal and
Horizon. Oh, yeah.
And we thought they did a great job. And their on-site supervisor is the same guy that's doing the Lincoln Avenue job. So we feel like he does a good job as far as being an on-site supervisor. So I have confidence in that to some extent, that we got a good guy out there to kind of oversee the project. So time will tell. Then we've got the countywide stop sign installation project. Still working with Kuats and RPC to get a full GIS map put together that shows all the current stop sign locations and the needed stop sign locations on the township roads in Champaign County. I'm hopeful that they'll get that done here in February. We actually haven't even applied for the money nor received the money to do that project. We just have a handshake agreement with the state that we're going to come up with this, and they're going to we're going to apply for highway safety improvement dollars, and they're going to fund it at an 80% level because they have about $20 million sitting in that pot. Mm-hmm. And we proposed this project to them because I didn't want to spend a bunch of money and a bunch of time to get it ready if they weren't going to approve it. And they said, yeah, it sounds like a great project. Get it all together, submit it, and we'll approve it. And it's actually, they have these windows where they, you know, they open up applications, and then they have, say, a December 1st completion date on the applications, and they review them all, and then they award the project, which is the avenue we went through on the guardrail replacement. This is kind of out of that typical calendar, and they said, don't worry about it. Get it sent in. We'll get it approved off the regular calendar, and you guys can move ahead with that project. So I don't know exactly a timeline on that one because it's kind of been in that kind of range of being put together, and we haven't applied for it yet, but we'll get that done as quickly as we can. It'll be a furnish and install, so we'll hire a contractor to put up 500 stop signs countywide with the posts and the signs and whatever appropriate other signs that the Township Highway Commissioner wants to put up, whether we have cross traffic does not stop, or we put up stop ahead signs, leaving that up to the individual township guys whether they want those. Some of them think less signs is better because they get knocked over by equipment and so forth, and they have to deal with them. So some of them want stop ahead, some of them don't. There's not enough traffic on any of these roads to probably warrant a stop ahead, mm-hmm. but if they want it, you know, it's just another warning sign to help the people know there's a stop sign coming.
It's kind of off the subject, but on the subject. Uh-huh. I'm thinking that a lot of this happens in the summer with the contractors and stuff, and don't we have like a program where the youth can go and work in the summer and maybe work on some of these projects?
Do we?
No? Like the stop signs and things like that? I mean, I don't know. I know that RPC, don't they have a youth program? Workforce something or other?
They have engineers or planners from the U of I that'll come over and intern with them.
Okay.
Yeah. And
it just seems like there's a lot that maybe somebody could learn in the summer, and that's not like a heavy duty project.
Yeah. They can't do the actual installation,
right.
but they could be the ones following the contractor around, making sure they get put up.
Just wondering, because kids are always looking for things in the summer, and that workforce development always looks for projects for the kids, that if they had a group that would be follow this along, that might be.
And we're getting to the point, as you can tell with all these projects, where we're getting pretty thin on the amount of people we're going to be able to have.
because I only have three engineers plus Mike, who we hired for the Lincoln Avenue job to oversee this stuff, so.
Well, they've all got two arms.
Huh? Yes, they do. So, there could be.
Sorry, just off the wall, but yeah, my brain just started.
We hired somebody two summers ago to help us out. Well, actually, he did it for free because he was a civil engineering student and just wanted to come and learn the job. And he came in for the summer and helped us out. So if we get to that point, yeah, we'd be looking for some. I'd want somebody that's going into civil engineering or something of that nature. Somebody that's responsible.
And Jeff, the proposal would be one countywide bid to do all of them?
Yes.
And would the assumption be that'd be a short time frame thing, or it would be sort of a do it, you know, take all summer to do it?
It would be come in and stay here and get it done.
Okay.
So however long it would take.
Is there a challenge getting enough utility locates done?
You're talking about utility locates. I mean, if they have to move it 2 feet, it's just a matter of.
But I mean, somebody's got to go. Not right. Like moving utilities. It's like somebody's got to go out and mark 1,000 sites around the county. That's right.
And I don't think the contractor would necessarily call them all in at once. He might call a township in at once.
They're only good for $40.
That's what I mean. I'm wondering if you can like just.
They'll have to, and that'll be up to them. That won't be up to us. But they'll have to stair step it through as they move through. Yeah. You know. The townships basically, or maybe they'll take it by road, do all the, you know, the first 8 roads south of north of the county line.
I was wondering if it made more sense to, or if we get a better deal if we gave them, you know, made it more of a time as time permits deal, because there's not a lot of urgency.
Right.
The roads aren't closed.
But I would think, I don't know of a local contractor that will take this on, so you're probably going to get somebody that's going to come in and do it. And, you know, somebody that works for a sign company, I really don't know who we would get on a project of this nature. But, I mean, we won't put a strict timeline on it, but I don't want to be chasing people for 2 years either.
Yeah, it's too bad we can't find somebody to do it locally.
It's a federal job.
I'd like to be able to keep that money.
So they're going to have to be federally approved. It could be, it could be anybody who's federally approved. I mean, you're going to get a guy that's typically a subcontractor to somebody,
sure,
which are typically smaller.
I mean, what's companies. What's the equipment here? What are they used to be? Just something that'll pile driver, basically.
Yeah. We've got a truck with a boom on it. It's got a driver, and they boom out, put the driver on top of the post, drive it in, and then get up on a, you know, then they get out on a bucket truck and put the bolts on, and they're done.
But this isn't something that makes sense for us to do?
No.
Even if it took 2 years?
No, it's staff. No. All
right. We really have one guy dedicated to signs, and it would literally take him years to do this many signs and do the signs that the county has to put up. Huh?
It'd be a career.
Yeah, it really would. It really would. And with the federal aid participation, that would be a difficult thing to do as far as trying to make that all happen.
There's got to be a list of the federally approved for the counties that live in this county, and maybe
where are we
perusing
as far as other counties in terms of this? I mean, is this something that every other county in the state's going to end up doing over the next?
There's a number of counties, like you go to Vermilion County, and all their crossroads are already controlled. They did it 10 years ago. Some of them just do it as the township guy wants to put them up, which is kind of the system we've been on forever. You know, hey, we're getting a lot of traffic on this roadway, and so-and-so down the road's complained that we need a stop sign. Let's put one up.
Could be farmed out to the townships?
This
is a great answer.
Now, hold it. So we did a sign replacement program 5 years ago, and we received thousands of signs to put up.
Yeah.
And then the state had to come back and inspect all the signs that were put up. There's a good majority of them that are still sitting in the township sheds right now that never got put up.
Yeah,
it was not very fun. Because we're chasing them around. They have to certify that they put them up. I think some of them are fibbing a little bit that they put them up.
Oh, silly me for asking that question. That
was going to be my next question if nobody else asked it.
They're good guys, but they're not the quickest at getting things done. Especially when they don't perceive
it's
really.
That's not their experience.
Yeah. We probably have about half of them that really want to do this.
Yeah.
About a fourth of them that think it's an all right idea, and a fourth of them that are like, why are we doing this?
Yeah.
And those guys would never put them up.
Right.
So
I made an appointment for after this meeting, so if there's something we need to vote on, is there enough without me to make the...
We got the resolutions coming up, but we have a quorum. They shouldn't be. They should go quick after, because they're all resolutions that cover these projects. And then we've got the bridge that we talked about in 2018, as of right now, the four projects that we have scheduled, and I'm sure there'll be others that'll come up. The Posodum Bridge, the one that we talked about that's on the three-month inspection cycle that's currently posted. So we're going to close that bridge, and we're going to redo the roadway at the same time. Because the roadway is in pretty bad shape. The edges have been crumbling and the roadway is rutted and it's in. So we're gonna do a cold in place recycling project. We got federal money on the bridge. We got federal money on the road and we got TARP money on the road. The only reason I have $100,000 of MFT money in here is just in case we need to have a little local money to take care of something while we're out there doing the project. Other than that, it's gonna be fully funded through the state and federal dollars.
Jeff, and that'll is that bridge fairly large too, or is it
yes,
the other one?
Yeah.
It is a pretty good size bridge, I thought so.
Yeah, yeah, and it's been in a state of deterioration for quite a few years. We actually got what they refer to as a major bridge program grant on that through the feds, which means the bridge will be $1 million plus. And those, you have to apply for them 5 years out. So we applied back in like 2014. We're actually getting accelerated up to 2018. So it's going to be 4 years past the time that we applied for the money to reconstruct that project. And then that, the County Road 16 rehabilitation project, that $2 million in federal money was again the state calling and saying, hey, we got some money in 2018 that nobody's jumped on yet. We either got to spend it now in District 5 or it's going to go to Chicago. So we jumped on it. We were going to do that project anyway. We were going to try to fund it locally with MFT dollars, but we got $2 million bucks in federal dollars because we were kind of ready and willing and able to do a federal aid project in 2018. And then the same thing happened. You guys are probably not believing all this, but the same thing happened with County Road 13. Mm-hmm. Literally a month ago, somebody, I think it was in DeWitt County, dropped a project that was in the neighborhood of like $1.8 million. And he said, hey, you got $1.8 million project we can do in 2018? And I said, heck yeah, we got $1.8 million. We don't have it designed or ready to go, but we can get it ready to go. So we're going to do hot in place recycling, which is something that wasn't so hot, to use that term, 10 years ago. But they've kind of turned the corner on doing this. And this roadway, it's the Broadlands Road from the Homer-Sidney Road all the way through Broadlands and down to the South County line where it touches into Douglas County. So we went out and did cores of the roadway, and the roadway is hard as a rock. It's got a great aggregate base underneath it. It's got good asphalt thickness, but we got this wheel rutting that's going on. And if you drive out there during a rainstorm, you can't drive where you should be able to drive because you literally get pulled off the road by the water sitting in the wheel rut. So you kind of got to straddle the center line or move over closer to the shoulder. So it's a safety hazard. The roadway's not in horrible shape, and that's why we can do this hot in place recycling, because what they do is they come in with these gigantic heaters, propane fired heaters, and they're probably as big as this table, and they got two of them in tandem behind these great big trucks, and they heat the top of the surface of the, and then they have a big scarifier that comes through, scarifies that old asphalt down about an inch and a half. They pick it up, they put it into a mixing plant on a truck. It puts in rejuvenator and new asphalt, and then they lay it back down with a paver, hot. I don't know, they get it up to 300 degrees or some heat like that when they pick it up. And then we're going to come back and put an asphalt overlay over the top of that. And that should get us a good 20-year road on that and get rid of that wheel rutting, is what we're trying to accomplish there.
I just want to put it on your map, it says cold-in-place recycle project.
Oh, it does? We need to change that.
It also says County Highway 15.
We need to change that.
Yeah.
I'll have Coop get on that right away.
If you want to use that again, I'll change that.
I will make sure we get that changed.
Actually, no, that's the bounds of the project, is from County Highway 15. That's the north end of the north end is at County Highway 15.
Oh, you're right, it does say that, okay. It does say Colvin Place.
It does? Okay.
You don't want to say from County Highway 15, though, on it, maybe it's...
Oh, okay, yeah, it says County Highway 15, okay.
It's also the Broadlands Road in the title.
Yes.
You guys are good. I told you we got this done really quickly, right?
That's how the locals say it, I guess.
My mom grew up in Broadlands, so I'm kind of...
In fact, you also spelled omission and corporate wrong. This is like a large number of errors in
so Coop can't spell. Make a note of that, Michelle.
Maybe that person's not here.
We'll just redo that whole box.
Yeah.
Apparently, there's not spell check in that box.
I was going to say and get an upgrade on the computer.
All right. So noted. And then we're still working on the ADA ramp thing, which you guys know came out of that Department of Justice. Mm-hmm. We've done the initial assessments. We got to go back and do the full-blown surveys to figure out what we got to do to make sure that those ramps coming on and off the county roads going through the small municipalities are ADA. That $700,000 is a total guess at this point. I just threw that number in there as kind of a placeholder. I hope it's not more than that. I think there's 37 locations that we have to redo. So that's $50,000.
Redo.
Okay.
Aren't the county roads generally not going through the municipal limits?
It's kind of a mishmash of stuff.
Okay, there are places where the county road does go through the incorporated county, city, village.
Yep, it's just 90% of our roads we inherited from the state. And when we inherited them from the state, either the jurisdictional transfer document said we do go through the city or we don't.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's basically what tells us whether we took it through the city or we didn't.
Okay, so we're on the hook for all these intersections where it's a county road, mm-hmm. intersection of a county road and village street.
Yeah, but we're not doing the ones that parallel the county road. We're only doing the ones that come out to the county road.
Okay.
Because if we had to do all the ones that parallel the county road, there would be hundreds.
Yeah.
And it would be multi-million-dollar project. Mm-hmm. And we got the DOJ to say we didn't have to do those, which was kind of a big coup because they've told other counties they do have to do those. So I don't know how we got that ruling, but we did, and we're going to run with it.
Yeah, yeah. So the ramps that cross that come down onto our pavement, we have to do.
Right. So at an intersection, there might be one going across, and there's one coming out to the county road. We're going to redo. Now, if we have to totally redo the slope of the sidewalk, and now it doesn't meet that one, then we're going to have to touch that one too, because of just the geometrics of trying to do it. But there are quite a few that just literally come across the county road, and there's nothing going parallel.
Okay.
So we'll see what becomes of that. My engineers are less than enthused about taking on that project. That's why they're all falling down.
It's not a real road.
Yeah, it's really not a sexy project to do, right?
Do you need a motion to approve?
I do not. I just wanted you guys to know where we're at. See the amount, we got $9 million in federal dollars and $1.5 million in state dollars, so we're over $10 million in the next 2 years with other people's funding, so to speak, getting all these projects done. It's a testament to us being able to do the projects, but it's also a testament to the fact that a lot of the counties in our district don't have any money. And when the feds say we got $2 million to spend and the county's got to come up with $400,000 to match it, they go, we can't do it. And we're able to do it because we're a larger county with a larger tax base and larger population. So it's helping us that other counties are poor, I guess, which is a bad thing, but that's just the way kind of things play out sometimes. So our counties aren't able to deliver and we are.
State money's concerned, will we actually get it? It's motor fuel tax money, or is it...
Say that again.
Will we actually get state money when it comes through?
It's all federal money. That's
but
passed
does state
through
match
money.
With the federal money?
Our MFT dollars? Yeah, we're continuing to get MFT dollars. We're the only group in the state that's fully funded the roads, basically. I mean, the state passed a bill, you know, a budget for roads. They haven't passed a budget for much of anything else, but they did pass a budget for roads. So we're getting our full allotment of motor fuel tax money. Now, come July, that could change, but we feel like since the last 2 years without a budget, they've actually funded roads, that it kind of is a good pattern for road construction. And we're, last year, or this year, 2016, summer of 2016, you remember, I didn't do much because I was a little worried about that, so we stored all that money up. Mm-hmm. So we got a decent balance. We could cover these projects with our balance if need be, because we kind of held our cards tight for 2016.
Because we want some money in nursing home?
No.
Motor fuel tax money? No, I don't think that would work out too well.
We also bought our trucks too.
Well, I don't know what good, I don't know how much good it's going to do, but there is that the constitutional amendment did pass about sweeping road money.
I know.
So it'll help hold up that.
It's going to help. I think it's going to help hold the line. I don't think we're going to see any significant increase in our funding. As a matter of fact, we just got an email from IDOT this week that said, don't expect to see any significant increase in funding due to the Safe Roads Amendment. Although maybe over time it'll trickle in, but there won't be like this gigantic boon of money coming in 2017 and 2018. So that's what we're planning on doing. We got some resolutions here. Item 9 is a resolution appropriating motor fuel tax funds, establishing a Class 2 truck route, and that's because we're getting that TARP money that I talked about for building roads to truck standards for County Highway 23. That's the Dewey-Elliott Road on page 16 and 17. So you'll see there we're resolving to appropriating $2.4 million in county motor fuel tax money and designating it as a Class 2 truck route.
Motion to approve.
Move and second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
And the next one is a similar resolution for the County Road 16, which is the Posotum or St. Mary's Road, however you want to term it. $100,000 from MFT, although the majority of the project is funded by state and federal money, and establishing a Class 2 truck route on that roadway as well.
I'll second. Moved and second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Then a resolution appropriating motor fuel tax funds for the Broadlands Road or the Broadlands Road from the cooperation limits of that's the Hot in Place Recycling that will be duly noted in the box from Cold in Place Recycling. So we're appropriating $450,000 to match the federal money on that project. We do not have TARP money, although I'm not averse to applying for that and trying to replace that motor fuel tax money with that. Now that we have that as a federal job, we may well be able to apply for TARP money on that, but that'll be probably this summer. So, but we need the money appropriated so that we can put it on the federal schedule and get it all rolling here. So $450,000 from MFT for the improvement of that section.
Motion approved.
Second. Moved in second. Open for discussion.
Jeff, do we need a note in the resolution that it excludes the part through Broadlands?
No, because we don't have any.
That's not a county road. Right. Okay, got it.
We will work with the Village of Broadlands, and if it's okay with you guys, I may offer some financial support, because I hate to have a little piece of road that's a piece of junk in between there. Probably won't do as much as we would do on our road, but I don't want to have this little chunk in there that looks like, you know what. So we'll be talking with them to see what we can do in that piece as well.
Any more discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Then we have the resolution appropriating $200,000
for the County Ride Guard Rail replacement. Those HSIP projects are typically 90% fed, 10% local. This money would be used to do the engineering work as well as match the federal money to actually replace the guardrails around the county.
Second.
Moved in second. Discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
See y'all later.
Good job.
Thanks, Chairman. I'm going to pass this around.
Yeah.
We have one more resolution. Do we have enough left?
That work?
Yeah, Steve has to stay.
He does?
Well, it would make it better if he did. No, Jim can go, but Steve needs to.
We'll do this right now then, if that's okay with everybody.
We got a problem with that.
Sorry.
That's fine.
Does Steve go? Pardon, did you give one?
Hey, Steve, sorry, you were walking out. So if it's okay, we can jump to other business and do the addendum while Steve's still here. Madam Chair, is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
So under other business, so we have the bridge project on Monticello Road. As I said, that money kind of came quickly and we're trying to get everything in line so we can go to the April letting. There is actually a federal aid local participation agreement that we have to sign with the state. This is a draft agreement because it hasn't been approved by Springfield yet, but this is what came out of the Paris office showing the $1 million project with the $800,000 in bridge money, $200,000 local, which is what we talked about on the spreadsheet. And the person who signs the agreement has to be approved by the county board in order to sign the agreement. Even though we don't have the final agreement, I feel very confident that it's going to look exactly like this without the word draft on it. So we put an addendum on giving Pius the authority to sign the agreement once it's approved by the state. And we need to do that this month so that we can get it on the April letting.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Approved and second.
What's the deadline that they need to buy?
About 2 months ago, but they're letting us kind of push those deadlines.
You want us to go through the final version?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It'll be okay if we wait that long, but like the next day, I need to literally send it to them. That's why I couldn't wait until March.
Okay. Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. The other thing that I had on here, item 13, I think I told you guys back a few months ago that I was going to be running for the North Central Regional Vice President of the National Association of County Engineers. The annual meeting where that is actually where the votes are counted and that person is put into office conflicts with the April meeting, so I'm going to be in Cincinnati at that meeting, hopefully accepting that position, hopefully winning the election. That's my goal. So the April 7th meeting, we can either leave it as it is, and if there's any minor things, Coop can come. I'm trying to get everything into March and not have anything in April, but there could be something in April that comes up, or we could just take it directly to the county board as well without a meeting. The only problem with moving the meeting is the next Friday is Good Friday, which nobody's going to want to be here then, and the Friday before that is actually still in March, which I don't know if that conflicts with county board policy to have the meeting in March.
I suggest play by ear. If you got very little stuff, just cancel it. We'll do that at the full board meeting.
Okay. All right. Sounds good to me.
We can make that decision in March.
Yeah.
I just want to let y'all know.
They would give you the information to know what we would need to do, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. We've done this before, where we just bring things directly to the county board.
And you just let us know what you think.
Okay. We'll just leave it as is.
All right. Sounds good.
Madam Chair, I don't have any other
business except to say it looks really nice in town, and it's still like H-E double L in the country.
Oh, it's slicker than
Yeah, we're out fighting it, right, because it's all blowing across the road.
I was listening to you guys on the scanner this morning before it came to
the road. Was it
It's the east-west, or yeah, it's the east-west roads always on the northern part of the county, because they got about 4 inches of snow up there, and they got an inch and a half to 2 inches in town, so.
Is it blowing and freezing?
It's blowing across it now. I mean, yeah, it's blowing right across Murray Road. Right. That's how it comes. It's
and since about 45. You know, we get the road wet with salt, and then it blows across, and then it sticks to the darn road.
That 136 going towards Fisher's always a mess, too.
I'm sure it is.
Tell them to stay safe out there.
Yeah.
Well, it's supposed to be up to 40. Yeah.
It'll be good, yeah, tomorrow. It's supposed to be good, but today, with the cold temperatures and the wind blowing, we're still out there fighting it. So it didn't seem like much of a snowstorm, but we've been fighting it since it started coming down. So.
But it's February.
Yep, we're almost through it. Good news.
No, we're going to have a couple more. Just are.
Don't say that. After Valentine's Day, it doesn't snow anymore. So.
It snows at Easter.
Yeah.
We've hunted eggs in the snow.
Yeah.
At least in the northern end of the county we have.
I don't have anything else, Madam Chair.
Okay, so the only thing we have for, we have
9, 10, 11, and 12
for the bids made.
And then the addendum.
And the addendum.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it don't have to go in front of the full board?
Yeah.
Addendum.
It can be on the consent agenda.
Oh, just
it was, yeah, yep.
Okay.
So 9, 10, 11, 12 plus the addendum. 5 items on the consent agenda.
Okay, is there anything else to go in front of the committee? If not, call us adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
That was a little longer than last month, but.
Oh, we got